Welcome to the JD Show. Today, we have with us two really gorgeous ladies with us who've been in the business for well over 27 years dealing with just sheer HMOs and property management. With that sort of experience in the bag, I believe they've got something to tell us, and they've got a few things that they can share to guide us in the right direction when it comes to HMOs and, you know, growing your portfolio in HMOs or management of HMOs. And I really I've been following them on social media for some time. I love what they do. And so please help me welcome Marie Alice and Georgina Smallwood. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. So Marie has written a book called HMO Success. It's actually on Amazon at the moment. You can actually go and buy this book. It's been edited by one of our guys, Jasim, as well. And I was super excited when he actually shared with me that he's the one editing this book. But, you know, it's a great book. You've got to go and buy it. But we're going to be giving you an offer on this book at the end of the video. So watch this video and we'll give you an offer at the end of it so you can get this book for 50% of the price. So here we go. Let me ask you a few questions, Marie. So how did you start into this property management, and where did the journey start?
Oh, gosh, right. Well, it is in the book, actually, if you do buy the book. But yeah, so my background was social housing, the Bromford Group, and then I ended up working at the University of Wolverhampton. And my remit was a £4.5 million budget and looking after all the 2,000 bed spaces on then five campuses, which is reduced, I believe, now. And so from there on, after that, I set up my own letting agency called Housemates, and that's where I met Georgie. So from 1998, I was involved with not only the rooms on campus, but also the rooms off campus. And we started to inspect and check all the student accommodation. We did that with the council rigorously. And we had to check them all to make sure they complied to safety standards before the students went and lived in them. And then I decided to branch out and do it on my own. So when I had my beautiful daughter, then I left and set up a management company, which was Housemates. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met Georgie, and here we are now.
Fantastic. So tell us some of the challenges you faced while building your business.
Well, I guess, like with any business, it takes some traction. You have to keep, you know, you have to get going. So if we're talking about when we had rent-to-rent properties and there was buy-to-let properties in there, I think one of the biggest challenges we had was probably get onboarding the properties, like it is, and getting yourself known and getting yourself known as being a reputable agent. That's really important because people have to know, like, and trust you. Yeah. So it's just been out there, and really back then social media isn't like it is now. I mean, things have moved on so quickly, so more of it was really websites and word of mouth and going out and talking to people, doing open events. It's not like it is now where you can reach thousands of people within you know, a very short space of time. It's and it just, when you've just said that, I've realised how that's moved on. You agree, Georgie, with that?
Definitely.
So it was more of a challenge then to get yourself known out there. But big thing that did it for us was to let boards and people just noticing our presence around Wolverhampton, really. But it does take some time to get going, but social media will definitely help now. It would have done then.
That's true. So how long did it take you when you started yourself to get to a point where you were able to kind of break even or be able to pay your bills comfortably? How long did it take you? How long was that period?
Well, I bought my first HMO when my daughter was young, actually. So I've used the income off that. And then we had some rent-to-rent properties, and we've really had good, bad and ugly with those.
Oh yeah.
Really, I can tell you some stories about those. Yeah. And we've learned an awful lot about those doing rent-to-rent. So I would say during the time that I was a letting agent, what we did, we had the rent-to-rents we were cash flowing. Me and Georgie did those between us within a couple of years. And then we built up the income from managing for other landlords in the same area.
Yeah.
So combining the both, it started to earn quite a nice amount of money, really. Yeah. And I did sell the business in the end for just a variety of reasons and personal reasons. But, you know, it added enough value to that. That sold for a six-figure sum.
Oh, that's good.
And you
don't
realise that's happening, actually, as you start to put properties through it and the turnover then adds the value to your business.
To your business.
So as you start to grow and grow and grow, and then you look at your turnover and what's coming through your book, it was actually more than I probably even realised.
Yeah.
I can't say I was driving around in a Porsche or, you know, had a flash hat. I didn't. I was just able to pay my bills with it and live and have the extras.
Yeah.
And do what I needed to do for my daughter, and most importantly, not having to work full time, massively important because being a parent.
Yeah.
So I'd say within a couple of years, in answer to your question, that was a long answer, I know.
But. No, but it's good to have the detail because I do come across a lot of people. They think they're going to start a business, and within 3 to 6 months, they're going to start making six figure income. That's the kind of impression they live in, and we know with experience that that's not really the case. It normally takes at least 2 to 3 years. To be able to replace your income in most cases anyway.
I'd say so. And you've got to pay yourselves back some of the upfront cost anyway to begin with. So they don't really start paying you back until at least 6 months, probably 12 months, depending on the deal. It could be 12 months before you start making your profit, and people don't factor that in. But
within
12 months, you should be really, certainly within 2 years, be up to probably about 60,000. And that's just on 10 properties if you're doing rent-to-rent.
Yep.
And that's really achievable because we've done it.
It is very much achievable. I mean, I'm a big believer that you should ask yourself the question, like, if something can be achieved in 10 years, why can't you achieve it in a year or two? But realistically as well, it does take at least 12 months to get to a point where you can at least replace your salary. I do believe it does take 12 months.
I would have thought within 12 months you should be on the way to replacing your salary.
And then
once you find, and Georgie said this as well, once you've got one or two, you build traction because then you seem to be attracting similar landlords, and you've got contacts, you've got a big list of contacts by then, so you can get deals coming to you. It starts to build faster.
That's right. Okay. So tell me, Georgina, this question is for you. What was the roller coaster ride? So the emotional roller coaster that we go through as, you know, someone who's running a business as entrepreneurs, what was it like for you and how did you deal with that?
So I set up by myself after Marie sold a business. I went with it for a little while and I set up on my own. And it was quite a roller coaster to start off with because you're having to put it all into practice for yourself, putting all the procedures in and putting it all in. And when we had the rent to rents, it was always up and down. We had our good days, we did. Our bad days were quite bad.
Oh, shit.
But it's all about going it with a journey. When it comes to a HMO, you will have the ups and the downs, but you'll have, when you have those good moments and you have those recommendations of tenants coming back to you and the positive, you have to kind of focus on the positive things because that's the most important part of it. And now I'm having people come back to me because they want being a property that I manage for because they resonate with me as a person. And that's kind of, it is a roller coaster and it is all ups and downs. And, you know, when it comes to HMOs, it's not always a get rich quick scheme.
It is a
strategy that you can have going forward that does have the returns when it comes to rent to rent or buy to let.
Have
that return. But it is a bit of a roller coaster. You kind of have to expect to have some of the down days and experience things that you've probably not experienced before, which is where we've come in and we can help people with that because we've had some horror stories. But you know, when you have those good days, they can be absolutely amazing. I mean, I've let some rooms. I've got people ringing me for viewings today, and people moving in, and you get their positive days. So it is a roller coaster, but it's well worth it.
It's well worth it. Okay, so this is a question for both of you. What does a really bad day look like? Because I know what does a really bad day look like. But I want to know from your perspective, both of you, what does a really bad day look like?
Oh, sometimes you can have people ringing you up at really 3 o'clock at night about the internet because it's the most important thing for them. Don't ever skimp on your internet when it comes to HMOs.
Yeah, no,
it's just not worth it.
It's not worth it, no.
And we've had discussions with landlords over it many times, and they'll ring you at night. what would you say, Marie? What would be a real bad day? We've had a few.
Yeah, and I think people are people, and you're dealing with, but you are dealing with the public, and you know, people do let you down, people hear you off, and you are dealing with human beings who can like really shock you sometimes. But you know, conversely, you can have some of the nicest people ever.
Yes.
And you are going to get the odd. We've been lucky. We've not had too many horror stories. We haven't really. I think overall, we've been really lucky. The worst ones have been mess. We've literally waded into somebody's bedroom where it was just full of Coke cans and pizza boxes, and I mean wading, really.
Yeah.
So we've had, you know, we had somebody die in a property. We did, somebody...
died or killed?
No. He actually just died. Natural causes. Died. But, so we had to deal with the aftermath of that, and we had to deal with... we had to get him repatriated back to his country and dealing with the agencies. And that was quite upsetting, actually. But it was an old, it doesn't matter that he was older, but he wasn't one of our younger, which we'd normally deal with. He was a bit older, and so, but overall, we've been quite lucky. You get people who will leave, who will just go, see ya, and then you've got to kind of put the room straight and then re-let the property, and do you chase the rent or don't you? I've just had one of those happen to me, and it's not very nice.
No, it's not.
But
it's not.
It is part of business, and it's part of life, and we say to everybody, that's how businesses are. It's not all roses, because George's favourite saying, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and it isn't, but with everything in life, there's ups and downs, and it's just knowing how to navigate your way through them and getting some support through those times.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, let me tell you a horror story. I knew a agent personally, and he actually had a murder happen in his HMO.
Oh, God.
Someone got killed in his HMO, and that place was closed for months due to, obviously, the police doing the investigation and so on and so forth. That is the worst one that I've ever heard. So I've seen some horror stories. That's a part of it, I guess. Okay, so... what do you think, someone who is watching this, new to HMOs, what are some of the things that he needs to be aware of, or some of the steps that he needs to take to get to a point where they can close their first or the second HMO? What are the steps you'd suggest?
Well, definitely, it is, I'm going to say this, aren't I, but it's true, training, actually, because some of the things that, you know, you need to know, you need to know, because you've got to know them. You can't run this business just on a shoestring, and hopefully it'll all run okay and there'll never be any problems, because that won't happen. And the education is so important, because there are fines attached to running HMOs non-compliantly, big fines that will just close you down. Yeah. So it is about education. It's about knowing the first step, I would say, is find out what it is you need to know. Because then you can assess whether or not that's for you. Because there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn about health, safety, legislation, Housing Act, and all this kind of thing. Yeah. And so we can advise you on what you're going to need to know to run your HMOs properly. But, you know, there's a lovely side to it, which is out getting in, doing negotiations and dealing with the agents. And you kind of need to know how to approach agents. And having been agents, we know how that works, so we can tell you from the other side of the desk, so to speak. Building those relationships with agents, so they kind of start coming to you, and they do, because you're building those relationships. So that's what we take people through, is to how to get those relationships going and building the business that way till you get your first set of
keys. Yeah, I agree. I believe sales and negotiation skills and marketing skills, for that matter, actually play a major part. So they really need to be learned properly to be able to build any business, for that matter, I guess.
Yeah, I think you need to think about how you come across and how you communicate with people, because I've had people come to me for rent to rent, and I've just gone, I'm not in. The way they spoke to me can be quite rude sometimes, and it's the way you come across. It might not be what you mean, but that's quite important to make sure that if you do due diligence on who you're working with. If you're working, you know, if you're going to be having people manage for your properties, make sure that you check them out and make sure they know their knowledge. But you're not going to know if they know the knowledge if you don't know what they should know in order to ask the right kind of questions. And that's kind of the importance of it, really, because I'm working with some landlords at the moment, and they've been with some agents previously, and you know, that it's clear that they didn't, the agents didn't really understand the HMO setup and how to let the rooms, and it's all quite different. And they didn't know the basic knowledge. Some things, and you know, something as simple as that can be quite detrimental when it comes to having your HMO. You need to make sure that it's in the right hands if you have an agent involved, and the only way you're going to know that is if you know the information, ask the right questions. And when you do your due diligence, if you're using sources or anything like that, make sure that you're checking them out, get testimonials, make sure that it, you know, they are doing the right kind of thing, because you need to be able to learn to analyze those deals yourself. Because, you know, you're the one that's doing it. So you need to be certain in your mind that it's the right deal for you.
You
need to learn how to do that. It's so important for the deals that we've seen.
I agree. Absolutely agree. How many times do we come across people who look at deals and they want to buy them? They actually don't know the numbers or how the numbers really work. So there's so many times I see that on my end as well.
We've come across that recently, and these people spend thousands of pounds on money they've either not had back. Or on and deals that just don't stack. We've had some mentees recently. We've just talked them out of a deal because it just didn't work how it was presented. And in reality, for example, there wasn't, I think it was a void. The voids weren't put in. And having the void allowance in there, which you've got to have, because nobody lets 365 days of the year 100%. They just we don't. They just don't. So when you factor in your voids, the deal didn't work. And it was miles away from where these people wanted to manage it. They were going to manage it remotely, and it was miles away. And we just said, look, you know, you're not, it's not going to work when you put your time in, your petrol, your weekends and all that, and then put your voids in. It was running in the minuses, but it had been sold as a good deal. And it,
good deal,
I think what it was down to that as well was how the dealer had assessed their demand in the area. And when we looked at the actual room rates and we went through it, they were comparing apples and pears, as I say, not apples with apples. They weren't comparing the same thing. I mean, if you compare a single room with a room with an ensuite, well, the prices aren't going to be the same.
Of course not.
You have to read the descriptions and assess your demand properly to make sure that the deal is actually what they say it is. Sometimes they are, and but sometimes they're just not. So you need to just make sure you check it properly.
I guess a lot of people don't either read between the lines, or they don't read at all because it takes effort. That's just been my experience. Okay, so let me ask you this. What does your day look like, Marie? When you're running a business like this, what does your day look like?
Well, for me at the moment, as I said, I've come away from the management, so it might be a better question for Georgie actually at the moment. So Georgie, at the moment, all my energy and a lot of Georgie's is going into getting this training academy up and running at the moment. I still run some properties, but it's because they run themselves really more or less once the tenants are in. So that's a nice bit of rent coming in for me, and it's paying all my bills here. And so the rest of my attention is going on, and we're also doing now some brokering. We're putting together, we're finding reputable agents, so I'm doing a lot of that at the moment. That's the rest of my time. Is putting people together with reputable agents and checking the deals out, and we've got quite a few of those going on at the moment. We've just got a 22 bed that we're working on in Dudley, so I'm just bringing all those deals together for people, which is probably a bit different to Georgie's day.
Georgie's, tell me, what does your day look like?
Right, well, in the day of a property manager, it's completely different. No one day is the same when it comes to HMOs. Just categorically is not the same. You know, you can have things from maintenance to check, emails to go through. I've got quite a few rooms to let now. I was lucky through the coronavirus when it all went into lockdown. I had everyone let, so it wasn't such a problem. But now a lot of the students are going home, so I'm trying to get a lot of the rooms let. So that's taken up a lot of the day. And you kind of have to build that rapport with someone prior to doing a viewing, during the viewing and after, in order to make sure that you get the most successful experience from that person. Within, you know, you want them to get into your room, so you have to put the effort in it more so, and you have to go out there and look for the tenants rather than them all coming to you. You have to go and find the people that are right for you, for your property. So I'm having to go out and look for them. You know, it could be one day if I'm doing viewings and, you know, I'm doing some mentee stuff, you know, doing a lot of the that. But in terms of like letting side of things, there's all sorts. No one day is the same. It could be complaints, disputes between tenants I've had to deal with, or my internet's not working, can you call this person, speaking to landlords and emailing them and collecting rent. So it no day is the same. It depends on what the tenants feel like and what's going on in their lives.
Exactly.
You've got to be respectful to that at the same time.
Of course, yeah. So this question for you, Marie, and we were discussing this before we started this interview, is that there are loads of people out there who start these training programs and they, in most cases, don't know themselves. They haven't done it themselves, and at least not properly. So what are your thoughts on that? Share a bit more on that, please.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know there's some friends of mine who I know and I love, and they're doing it. And I understand that they're doing it to get food on the table for the family. I really get that. Yeah. But at the same time, if you're going to invest in these properties, you do need to learn from people who've done it, because there is so much that can go wrong. And if something does go wrong, then you need to be able to turn to somebody. And you see, we run a lot of support in our groups afterwards, after they're finished with us. So if somebody had a problem, my tenant's done this or that's happened, or then we can all chip in and help each other, you know. But if you don't have that support from somebody who's actually done it, then it some of these trainers have just been on training courses themselves, and then they're turning those into courses. And I just it doesn't sit very well with me, really. It'd be like learning to drive with somebody who's just done it on YouTube, wouldn't it? You wouldn't do that either, would you, really? Because and there's just there's so much risk attached to it financially, and in terms of what can happen to you if you don't do it properly. And some of these trainers don't understand that, and we've had real life situations where we've sort of been in the middle of some of that sometimes, and with the councils and fines and people who are prosecuted, and you've got to be careful. And if you haven't done it, you wouldn't necessarily know all of that. You wouldn't even know that. And I've spoken to people who've said, oh, we didn't know that could happen, because they've not been taught.
Yeah. I agree with that. So what, this is a question that the audience would say, right? This is a question from the audience perspective. Why would someone come to your academy and not someone else's academy? I know the answer, but this is an audience question.
Because it's us. No, because we've had nearly 30 years experience of doing it, like I've said, the good, bad and the ugly, and there's not much that we won't be able to help with when things, if things go wrong.
Yeah.
And through our training, we know how to make sure things, or to mitigate that risk and to stop stuff going wrong, because there's lots you can do, like checking stuff and knowing your contracts and things like that, so we can save you money, because we'll know not to sign a full repairing lease, because you wouldn't do it. But you people don't know, so they just sign it. So there's that. We'll also do video accompanied viewings with people. We can't go all over the country, but we can do it on video, so we can go places with them on video and check the properties with them. We actually be there with them. What else, Georgie? Because I've got a big long list downstairs. I don't have.
Well, I think it's about investing in the right kind of experience and knowledge is key. You need to look at whoever you train with, what their experience is. And our experience is the perspective of managing HMOs.
Yeah.
And when you have the HMOs, that's kind of what it's all about. You've got to manage them. You've got to keep your tenants. And our experience and our perspective is probably quite different from other trainers. That's my thought. I don't know what people think, but that our perspective is slightly different from our approach with how we approach tenants and how we approach people. From my background being social care and policy from university, my perspective is slightly different. But you know, if you're going to if you're investing you know, £500 or £600 in rent-to-rent training, then you're going to only get what you pay for. Realistically, you're not going to get all of that knowledge and experience. I'm not saying that we charge loads and loads and loads of money, because we're not like that, but you need to have that experience with it and that knowledge. You know, we've seen people that have gone through training people, and then they've come to us and they've said, well, does that property need a license? Well, of course it does. And you've had training and you've not been told some of the basics, and that's what has really always scared me, Marie, is that people come to us and we go, you've already had training, but you don't know.
You need a license.
What about this and what about that? And, you know, that, I think that's what we hear at the Training Academy is what we're all about. We're all about wanting you to do it correctly, compliantly, and get the maximum return on it. If you do it correctly, then you're not going to be shocked to think that you're not, that the deal doesn't work out, because you've assessed the deal correctly. You know that you're going to make that return, and it's going to be realistic rather than going in with unrealistic expectations of what you're actually going to get. And that's what we do for our mentees. We go through the deals to make sure that it's correct for what they want.
Fantastic.
So we do
the... Well, if I'm just saying as well, one of the things that we do allow our mentees to do, which is massive, is we allow them to say to agents they're working with us, and we'll kind of be behind them. So if they haven't got any initial experience, just most of them haven't, they have not run a property before, and they're going to be asked about their experience. They're going to say, well, what experience have you got of running an HMO? Because our landlord wants to make sure his property is going to be run okay. We are allowing people to say loosely a partnership with us. We're not signing any papers. It's we're allowing people to say, yes, we're working with the HMO Training Academy, and we're being mentored through the whole process, and we'll be with them from the start until the finish and beyond. Because that's what we're committed to do.
More hands-on approach, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic. Marie, this question is for you. What would you, a couple of tips for someone who wants to start his HMO portfolio, and what can they do besides obviously getting training? That's one thing. But there's a couple of tips that they can go with and then start to take those first or two steps.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a lot of stuff on YouTube, obviously, and with anything that you were going to do in live, that's where we all turn now, isn't it? We're going, perhaps YouTube, just some of the free stuff. There's lots of people out there that you can get some free stuff off, and we do it, by the way, we do free stuff.
We do the free stuff,
so you can go and you can join, we've got a WhatsApp group, you can join, and networking is massive, I'd say at least. Follow some of the groups, go in a lot of the HMO groups and follow what people are saying, just read through the feeds and comment, and people will come back to you, join the community and actually join in the community.
Yep.
And then you'll find that there'll be a network of people. And this is how we've met you, Jack. You know, this is how you start meeting people that will help you. And you'll find in the network community that people love talking about what they know about best.
Exactly.
So if you have got a question and you're thinking, oh, I'm thinking of doing this, what do you think? Whether it be about training, whether it be about what areas, people will love it, and they'll help you because there is pick up. Oh, that's my area. I'm onto that. I know the answer to that. And you're so I'd say massively use your network, when we can go to meetings, go to them, and or join online networking events. You'll learn loads, and you'll learn lots from leveraging other people's knowledge and experience. That's what it's all about.
Fantastic. Now, this is for our audience, guys. Marie has written an awesome book called HMO Success. It's on Amazon for $19.95. And if you want to grab that copy for 50% discount, and I agreed this with Marie before we started this interview.
You did.
If you want this for 50% off, which means that you can get this book for below £10, £9.95, send Marie a message on social media. You'll find her on all social media platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, primarily Facebook, I would say. She's already also got a WhatsApp group. I would heavily recommend you to join that group, because there's so much stuff that you learn for absolutely free. And if you want to join the academy, that's entirely up to you. I would definitely recommend that if you are planning to pursue a career growing your HMO portfolio. But I definitely recommend you to follow Marie on all social media channels, as well as go and grab this 50% offer now. And Georgina, where can people find you? Can they find you on all social platforms? I know you're on Facebook. Can they find you on LinkedIn, Instagram?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I have got to update my profile a little bit. But Facebook, I'm in all the groups with Marie. They're our groups, our WhatsApp group. So you tap into any of them, I'll be there we're in whatever we do. So all of our groups, Facebook groups, we've got quite a lot. So just
fantastic.
Search and find us.
So guys, I'm going to leave a link below this video to their social channels, as well as to link to their book of Amazon. But you're going to find that book on Amazon, like I said, $19.95 if you want that book for half of the price. Contact Marie. I'll leave her social handle in this video, below the video, and then you'll be able to grab that book. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you, first of all, Marie. Thank you, Georgina, for being on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you. But if you're watching this, and wherever you're watching this from, get your book now, and you gotta be in their network so you can learn and start to grow your portfolio. Have an absolutely amazing day, and I'll see you guys very, very soon.
See you soon.